to bring Catholic and Protestant children out of Northern Ireland during the marching season, which at the time was extremely violent. You saw bombings, shootings, kneecappings, children seeing friends assaulted. It was a very difficult time in Northern Ireland in many of the towns. So the concept of Project Children was to bring the children out to America, because generally when the marching season started was when their school session ended. And so their summers were largely efforts to avoid conflict, and they were locked into many of their neighborhoods by barriers. The soldiers and the barriers and the police forces were locking down neighborhoods to keep the rioting from spilling over. So a lot of the children were largely kept sequestered in their neighborhoods. The concept of bringing them to America was to not only get them a relief from almost a war-type setting, but also to perhaps seed a concept of understanding that perhaps the other side was not so different. And that's really what the vision of it was all about.
We should probably clarify what the marching season is about, because it's very particular to Northern Ireland. And I think a lot of people have no idea why a march or a parade could cause such conflict. But basically, it's around July, and it's their political marches, the Orange Order, which right. are traditionally associated with the Protestant small majority in Northern Ireland, would hold these marches to celebrate their own culture and their own history. But very often they would go into nationalist or Catholic areas, leading to much conflict. And there were a whole commission set up on this. It was a major part of the Good Friday Agreement. There still is quite a lot of conflict in marching season. July is always a bad place to be in Northern Ireland. And so for people who maybe think, well, what's a march got to do with anything? It really was such an example of the conflict writ large across the entire region. And so for children who are off school, wanting to be out playing with their friends in the summertime, as you said, they're kind of locked in and sequestered in their own neighborhoods, in their own homes. So what was their experience then when they would come to the US? They're obviously leaving that behind, but it was more than just a vacation. I mean, it ran much deeper.
It really was. When we would bring the children over, they were as young as 10 years of age, between that and 14. Many of the experiences they had were ones of what was America like, especially from living in neighborhoods where there was no separation. That was almost a shock for many of the kids. They were used to living in Catholic neighborhoods, Protestant neighborhoods. There was no mixing.
No walls separating them.
No walls, but there was also a difference that their schools were different there. They would go to a Catholic school or a state school, and there were no mixing at the education level until they went to university, which many children were few and far between to do that. Coming to America was not only an awakening moment of understanding that we didn't live in separate worlds like that, but also our perspective of judgment, of saying that we can't understand your side of the conflict, came back, where one of the most poignant memories I have of one of the children we hosted, he was interviewed by Cheryl Preheim from Channel 9 News. His father had said before he left from Lurgan, Northern Ireland, that he wouldn't get along with Protestants. He was a Catholic child. He stayed with a mother here in Broomfield that hosted him for the 6 weeks. And she had heard that there had been some conflict in the family, where one of the family members had actually shot a Protestant and spent 10 years in prison. So he came over. He was very, very tight, very close, non-communicative young man. And Cheryl asked him a question. She said, we understand that your father said you wouldn't get along with the Protestants when you went over to America. And she said, what will you tell him when he goes back? And when you go back? And he looked at her as if he was studying his father's face. And he looked at her and said, I'm going to tell him he was wrong. And that young man is flying to Lexington, Kentucky next week to play in the Festival of St. Patrick's as a wonderful musician. He picked up the guitar when he was here. He found a fascination with Jimi Hendrix, Carlos Santana. He went back and his father got him guitar lessons, and his first teacher was a Protestant guitar teacher.
And so really the impact on the children went far beyond the children's life experience themselves, getting to be somewhere peaceful for a summer, getting to explore neighborhoods that weren't, you know, segregated. But then they were able to bring some of those lessons back as well. And so were you able to see the impact of that on families and communities?
I went back several times after the Good Friday Accord to see exactly what was happening in Belfast, for example, or Portadown, which was probably one of the most sectarian towns you could find in Northern Ireland. And what I noticed was a dramatic difference in the tension. You could go down to Belfast and you could walk the streets. You could be in the city center and you could see no tension as much as when we were there and the marching season would seal off the peace line where you couldn't go between the Falls Road or the Shankill. So what we saw was that as these children grew up into being adults, and many of them now are in their 30s, with children of their own, their perspective of how they look at life is far more optimistic. And because there is a co-governing agreement between the two sides, and they are co-ruling in Northern Ireland today, that has given a sense of equality that wasn't there before.
In many ways, the 1998 Good Friday Agreement, which was that significant peace agreement that Bill Clinton was very much involved in, that has been set up as a model, or held up as some kind of model, for other conflict zones around the world. And many people are trying to learn some of the lessons, because for anyone who is in any way familiar, I mean, the 70s, the 1960s and 70s and 80s, it was a real hotspot. The Troubles, euphemistically, didn't necessarily capture everything that was going on. And yet now it really is a very different place. Do you see the children's project as being transferable in terms of being able to take children out of conflict zones, even if it is just for a few weeks, and then maybe introducing them to people that they're segregated from in their own countries? We're seeing conflicts and segregation happening, not just around the world, but actually right here in the US as well.
I do. And one of the things that I learned from this experience was this actually happened in 1997, the first year I had children over here. The bomb went off in
Oma,
and a number of children were killed. In fact, I think about 12 children were killed during that tragedy. And one of those children happened to have come over to Colorado from that very town, and he was staying with my dentist. His mother called just weeping, not only from the tragedy, but also the thankfulness that her son was here. And the following year, we had the tragedy in Colorado with the Columbine shooting. It was a very tragic event for us here. And you couldn't fathom children killing children. I mean, it was that sense of why can this be seeding hatred in such an early fashion? And one of the things that I learned was when Governor Owen went back to Northern Ireland to mourn the anniversary of the Omagh bombing, they had just finished the tragedy here at Columbine. So there's real sense of compassion between the two communities. One of the things that George Mitchell learned during the negotiation of the process.
That's
there.
Former Senator Mitchell, former who was Senator, very much involved in what happened over there.
He was assigned by President Clinton to work toward this negotiation. He learned that one of the first things he had to understand was that when words were spoken in the same language, they meant different things. And for example, the word justice on a Protestant side versus a Catholic side meant two different things. So once he learned what their language of understanding was between the two understandings of negotiations, that became the framework to work towards solving this conflict. And what I see here in our world today is we're psychologically building walls again. And that's what's very disconcerting to me, why I felt inspired to show this film here was to try and reawaken people that one of the strengths of American systems is that we promote unity, we promote dialogue, for example. That's what we learned with these children, is they would go back and they'd learn how to dialogue instead of fight.
Unfortunately, we don't seem to be heeding those lessons right now, even right here in the U.S.
I think we're forgetting them. It's not that we are needing to relearn them. We need to remember them. And in our country, we're seeing that sense of political division or sense of frustration that things are separating apart and we can't dialogue anymore. And that's really the key to any conflict. So when you ask the question, could we replicate this in other parts of the world? I believe we can. I mean, certainly Project Children had the benefit of a common language that shared English structure. It's sometimes a little difficult if you're in a country where the language is Arabic, for example, or another African conflict where they're speaking a different language. But one thing we know is that if we get children out of a conflict just for a short period of time and they're put into an environment where the worldview is affected, they take that worldview back.
Well, the film that you refer to is How to Defuse a Bomb, the Project Children story. It's narrated by Liam Neeson, and it really shows the history of the Project Children, but it also highlights two boys who participated in this. One was Catholic, one was Protestant. They grew up to be best friends. In fact, they were best men at each other's weddings. And one of them was actually a bomb diffuser himself. And so the title of the film, you know, touches on many, many different aspects.
And these two young grown men now today not only were affected in their sense that they were actually fighting on the plane on the flight into JFK.
When they were children.
When they were children, they actually had a fist fight on the plane across when before they landed. And they had no idea they were going to end up staying at the very same home for 6 weeks. By the time that 6 weeks was over, they were not only, as you said, best friends, but they also were transformed in their thinking. That's a key part of the documentary that Liam Neeson narrates, is this sense that these two young people were affected so much that they caused change in their own neighborhoods. They caused change in their own family structure, that they could be not afraid to show up at each other's wedding and be their best man. That's a huge leap forward in Northern Ireland, that you could trust yourself, that you wouldn't be shot later.
Well, fortunately, things are so much better in Northern Ireland. We mentioned the 1997 bomb in Omagh, which was, you know, at the very tail end of the Troubles. We are seeing pockets of violence and some resurgence of various different things, but really things are in a completely different place. And so what is the status of the Project Children project right now? I mean, do children don't need to be brought out of those conflict zones in the same way that they did even, you know, 15, 20 years ago?
Thank God. I mean, to me, that's a success story, that you don't need to keep bringing children out after 40 years. I mean, to me, that means that it actually made a difference in the culture in Northern Ireland. And you're talking not just Belfast, but we're talking Derry, Lurgan, Portadown, Newry. I mean, there's all these towns where you would drive through and you would know you would be in the Catholic neighborhood with the Irish flag or the Union Jack if you were in the Protestant neighborhood. Those flags still fly today. I mean, I was just over there in April, visiting the children that are now young adults and connecting with them, that I've kept in touch with them all these years. And for me, I feel like the satisfaction of what Project Children has evolved to today is the ability to now offer opportunity for university students. And that's what we're doing with the intern program, is bringing college, university-age students where their field of study is in whatever area. It could be computer science, engineering, social work. We look to find them internships here in the States with the ability to work for 6 weeks and build a resume and go back and contribute to the European Union, because they still are part of that. And the economy is a challenge of finding a place. There's not everybody can go back and work where they live. They have to feel like they compete on a larger United States type environment.
And so will Project Children just continue in this new form? I mean, given that it really is a different place over there now, or are you looking to other areas that maybe could really benefit from that original concept of taking children out and giving them a safe space for a few weeks?
That's a very good question that I don't know if where Dennis's vision is. He's been nominated twice for the Nobel Peace Prize. He's also retired and getting up in years. All of us that are part of the Project Children are senior citizens. I think there's a few of us. I'm one that feels inspired to share the story. I'm a little bit younger. I feel like I can convey a message of experience to other people groups or communities that might be interested in learning the story of how could such a success story transform a society, a country? And sometimes it was like for me when I was hiking mountains in Colorado, you could only focus on one step at a time and you had to keep climbing, or you had to keep focusing on the path in front of you. That's what this story, I think, could be transformed or shared in other communities.
Well, there will be a screening of How to Defuse a Bomb, the story of Project Children, happening the day before St. Patrick's Day. Were you trying to get St. Patrick's Day, or you just decided to do it the day before?
I'm very Irish. My mother is from Dublin. I still carry Irish citizenship. It's part of my DNA, if you will. And yes, I wanted to synchronize the timing of showing this film to St. Patrick's weekend.
Well, it's happening on Thursday, March 16th at 7:30 p.m. at the Broomfield Auditorium, and it's completely open and free. Anyone can come along and find out more.
That's correct. There's no charge to show up and just experience this film. It's a very moving documentary. The effort to show what was accomplished was supported by the BBC. They helped fund the documentary. It won top honors at the Irish Film Festival in Dublin in September of this past year. It's being shown in April at the Toronto Film Festival, so it's getting a wider audience. And what we're doing today is we're showing it in select communities through the coordinators.